Okay, this morning we're going to be looking into God's love. And, you know, love is so special, you know, and a lot of times Paula will say to me, "I love you." And she's got a smile on her face, but I say, "Well, really, do you?" And about that time she comes with those arms and she bounces off my belly and shows her love. Let me tell you something about God's love. You'll never bounce off of His love because it is in you. Amen? It's kind of where we're going this morning. Love. If you just think about that word a moment. Just think about the word love. What does it mean to you? Perhaps after the message this morning, you'll think differently. I don't know. You know, some of you are probably already thinking, "Oh, you're going to preach about love? Well, you're probably the one that needs it." Very honestly. I'll be strict and straight up front. You're probably the one that needs it, because if you can think that way, then that's not the love of God in you. We all need this, and that's what John is, you know, John is the apostle of love, if you haven't figured that out in your Christian life. You know, we've got the other apostles, certainly Paul was the apostle of faith, and James was the apostle of works. Peter was the apostle of judgment. But John was the apostle of love, and he taught, he preached, he wrote more about love than any of the other apostles. And so that's where we're going to go this morning, to his book, 1 John chapter 4. Because if there's anything that's needed by people, you know, the professionals will tell you that there's three needs of life for the human. Number one, the need to be wanted. Number two, the need to be needed. And number three, the needed to be loved. The need to be loved. And John refers to us this morning as Christians, number one. If we are a Christian, these are the things that we should be seeing in our lives. I said not just seeing, not just thinking about, but seeing in our lives and then practicing in our lives. And so if I can read to you the scriptures from 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. He says, "Beloved," that tells you that he's speaking to Christians. "Let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." So if you've been born again this morning, you should know the love of God, and not just know it, but begin to practice it. Listen to what he says. "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." Live through Him. Not what we think is love, but what Jesus teaches us is love and shows us. Number 10, verse 10. "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Again, he says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You say, "Well, I don't know if I can love everybody." Well, you know what? Before we're done here this morning, you'll understand how you can. Let's go on. Verse 12. We need to see God through love, and that's what it tells us. Verse 12. "No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love has been perfected in us. By this," he says in verse 13, "by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him." Verse 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. I'm going to give you two more of those before we're done this morning. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. I don't think anybody, as I told you already, no other writer in the Bible speaks about love more than John. And we have some sure evidence this morning that if we are children of God, we are in the family of God, and we can be assured of that. And one surefire mark that a man is a child of God is this love we're talking about. We cannot be at odds, my brothers and sisters, in anything and any time if we have the love of God in us. Because the Spirit of God will convict us to come together to fulfill what Jesus taught us. And if the Spirit of God is indwelling us, then he will bring to light what these scriptures tells us and write them upon our hearts where there cannot be disagreement. I've seen in my ministry other churches that have split, and I had to go through one myself. But you know, every time that there is a church that's in disarray, it's because somebody's not listening to God. Somebody's not reflecting this love that we're talking about. A church comes together. The circulatory system of the church is this love of God, that we all have it. So why is that? How does it come together? Here's what the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:4, that we become partakers of that divine nature. You know, whenever I was born physically, I was born with a nature. It was a normal nature. It was my father's nature that come to me naturally through birth. But whenever I was born again, I could become supercharged with the Spirit of God, with the nature of God. And if I have the nature of God, God is love. And if I have his nature, I have his love. Amen? That becomes what begins to start the circulatory system of love that brings and draws a whole church together, to draws a whole people, a group of people together, to proclaim and to grow his kingdom through something called church. And incidentally, heaven was created for you and I. Heaven God created for you and I so that we wouldn't have to live with a lot of disarray. And we would be eternally secure in that place called heaven and be with him. And that is wonderful that we have his nature and it will go on for eternity. I want to tell you something else. God created hell too. But he didn't create it for you. He created it for Satan and his angels. And you might ask, well then why does God allows people to go to hell? Why does God commit people to go to hell? Let me share with you. God doesn't commit anybody to go to hell. They commit themselves by not allowing God's love to come into their lives and not allowing Jesus Christ to come into their hearts and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to convict them and to direct their paths. So God doesn't convict or send anyone to hell. They send themselves. It might say that loud and clear. You say, well, is God that much love and he could allow somebody to go to hell? He made it all for you and me that we could enjoy this place called earth right here in a place called church, coming together to grow his kingdom right here on this earth, to live by him, to the Holy Spirit to lead us, for us to love one another, to feel this love that we all ought to be feeling, because we are doing his work. And if we are doing his work, we are pleasing God. And it reflects us not bouncing off of somebody's belly called God. God is in us, and we're going to keep on keeping on doing the things through His love. Verse 8 there tells us that we are to be in fellowship with God. And He says to know in verse 8, that deeper meaning than simply intellectual understanding. This is not a mental state that we're in, accepting and saying, well, yes, Jesus is a good thing. Jesus is something I need. And yes, I want to receive Jesus. It's not just a mental state, my friends. It's a total involvement of us coming. He comes into our very being. He is now us. His love is in us. We've accepted His love of Him giving His only begotten Son who died for us to live in us. It becomes a divine nature that should be in us, and that's His love. How can there ever, ever, ever be disagreement among Christians whenever we have this love of God? And like I heard in Sunday school this morning, sometimes we have to agree to disagree. But that doesn't mean that we have to separate and go separate ways. Or that doesn't mean that we hold on to madness and be mad at each other, does it? It should never happen. If you want to know how well you know God, if you want to really know how close you are to God, I think you can ask this question. How much love, really, how much love is in my heart right now? How much love is in my heart right now? And you can't measure that by what you do for God in the church. You can't measure that for what you might do for others. But how much do you do it because you love God and you want to reflect that love to one another? You know, you and I ought to be like a neon sign reflecting God's love to a community that we go into every day. I don't think there's any place to have those lemon faces going around in our community. I want to say, I want to see you work in the church. I want you to do what God leads you to do. That's most important to Him. That's most important to me, is to have you do and proclaim that work that you want to do for God. But it's done in love. It's not done because I have to. It's done in love because I have the love of God in me, and God wants me to do this. And so I do it to please Him. Let me tell you something about this love. Some people say, well, if I love, that's all I have to do. Let me tell you something. I've never known any love to be full without it being be filled with some sacrificial somewhere. Sacrificial, I'm saying. I want you to think about what God did with His only begotten Son. God took His only begotten Son and allowed Him to go to that cross and pay the price for your sins. You talk about a son being taken away from you, and He gave Him freely, and Jesus went there freely. That's sacrificial love. And I want to share with you especially that God's scripture also tells us, men, we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. We should be willing this morning to take a bullet for that woman because we love her that much. And we should be standing up for her. In verse 9, this love's supreme example, I think in verse 9, literally means to come out into the open, to make a public display. And the cross itself is kind of it should be like a neon sign to you, flashing God's love to you. He loved you that much that He was willing to give His Son. Now the question is, how much do we love Him that we're willing to give sacrificially? You know, Romans 5:8 says, for God has demonstrated His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what we're talking about. So true love is going to be a sacrificial love. You try and show me or tell me where there is absolute love without it being something that's given sacrificially. I would like you to show that to me, where it's pure love, that there's not some giving somewhere, giving of someone somewhere sacrificially. When God says that He gave us His very best, He did, His Son. And we got to be remembering that. I think you have to sacrifice in order to love. If you remember a few years ago, and probably still some are, a lot of people in the world, they talked about free love. I'm going to say again, there is no such thing as free love. It costs somebody. It costs somewhere. Love is not free. It costs God to give you His Son to provide salvation for you. It costs Jesus His life to love the church. It costs. You show me love where there's no sacrifice, and I'd be surprised. I think you'll see the ocean be dried up before you'll not see love with sacrifice. Real love is always a love that seeks to meet the need of somebody. Meets the need of somebody. I remember whenever I was living in darkness a few years ago and God showed me the light. I certainly remember whenever I was in deadness to serving Him, and certainly God sent His life. He gave me life. But there was a time whenever I was dead to Him, and there was a time whenever you were dead to Him. But He gave you life, and He gave that to you through His love. You see, the death of Jesus was no accident. It was intentional for you because God loves you that much. God loves you that much, willing to give. He died as a conqueror, certainly not as a martyr. Jesus died that we might live through Him. But I want to talk about the satisfying love that really comes through Jesus. I want to look in verse 10. If you got your Bibles, you might want to stay with your Bibles there, but we're going to be going through here verse by verse. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Practice righteousness. Do I continually, as a Christian, if the love of God is in me and He's directing me and I'm allowing the Holy Spirit direct me, do I consistently walk away from what I know is right to do? I don't walk away from what is right to do. I need to be walking to that and living that in the love of God of what is righteous. The word propitiation in the Scripture is a very strange word to us, perhaps, but its real meaning, they're most beautiful. It means satisfaction. Satisfaction. I want to go further. You see, even though God is love, we also hold on to 1 John 1:5 that says God is light. Now, light refers to the purity of God, and that's what we should have. In our hearts, that love of God should give us light and give us light everywhere. Refers to the holiness of God. If we've got the love and God is leading us, we'll want to be holy. We'll want to be full of Jesus. We'll want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We'll be wanting to do the things that God is calling us to do, because it's the love of God that I want to reflect to this world that's around us. We wonder why folks don't come to Jesus. Maybe they don't see Jesus in you. Maybe they think, why should I want that if I'm just as good as they are? But they need to see that love of Jesus in you and I. And then true love is a sharing love. True love shares. And true love gives. It doesn't necessarily give what man wants, but it gives what God wants to give. It reflects God and His love to you. And that kind of love comes through you, and God will use you. If I could give you a little prime example, I read the story about this man who was preaching, and he was preaching a series on stewardship. And as he preached that, the man walked out of his service. And he walked out, and at the end of the service, he was still standing out there in the vestibule, narthex, whatever. And he said to the preacher, whenever he went out, he says, you know, I've been in this church, and he says, all I hear from you is give, 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 give. And the preacher looked at him, and he says, thank you. You just gave me the best definition of Christianity that I ever heard. Think about that a minute. Is the willingness to give of oneself, to give of oneself financially or service or however, God's love leads you. You see, it shouldn't be a have-to thing. If I've got the love of God that's indwelling me, it should be a joyful thing. When we just took up the tithes and offerings here, the giving should have been a joyful thing, to be able to give and to be able to share and to know that it's going to be used to grow God's kingdom. So you see, love has an essence, a spiritual essence in our lives. We look in verses 12 through 16. You could follow me there. The kind of love that we're speaking about is holy. It's a heavenly love. It's not a on-again, off-again type love that we see in the world. It's not a love today and love not love tomorrow. We're talking about a love of God that is continuously. He gave it to you forever and ever and ever. It's an eternal love. He loved you so much, He provided heaven for you. We're talking about, if that's the kind of love that's supposed to be indwelling us, it's not a love that we have today and not tomorrow. It's not a love that we cut off today or tomorrow because we was in church today. It's a love that goes on day after day after day after day forever because it's the love of God that should be engrossedly taking our lives and making us where we need to be. In Romans 5:5, I want to go there. As the Holy Spirit indwells you and fills you, He just keeps on emptying buckets of love of God into your hearts. Can I say that again? As the Spirit of God continually leads you, there will be blessing after blessing after blessing of blessing of blessing. And you say, well, you mean money? No, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about blessings that He might take care of your family. He might get you out of trouble whenever you're in it. He might be right there. He'll just keep pouring buckets and buckets and buckets of blessings upon you because He's that kind of a God through His love. God's love has to be seen through me. It's not something that I can cough up. It's not something that I can reach down inside me and pull out and to show that love. I'm going to share this with you, and listen to me, please. The kind of love that we're talking about is not a love that I can pull out of me. It's not a kind of love that I can pull out of Paul. It's not a kind of love that Paula can pull out of her. The kind of love that we're talking about comes from God through me. Let me say that again. The kind of love that we're talking about is God's love through me out to others. If you try to dig up that love and you manufacture that kind of love that we're talking about, it never happened. We're talking about the love of God indwelling you and coming out through you to others. That's the kind of love that we're talking about here this morning. Let me give you something. A scripture to support that. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will bring that love to your remembrance. Are you with me? Am I getting there? The Holy Spirit is going to continually be working in your minds. He's reflecting the things that God wants you to hear, that God wants you to do. It's a continuous process. I receive it into my mind. It's God's love. He convicts me of what I need to do, how I need to share His love with others. And then it's projected out of me, whether it be through my mouth or whether it be through my actions. But that love should be seen. And it's not anything people want to say, well, you need to show the love of God. Yeah, you do. Well, you need to show love to those people. Yeah, but it needs to be the love of God that is going through you. You're receiving it. You've got it locked in. It's in your mind. But God uses that then to reflect unto a dying world out there that needs to see some true love. True love. Not some kind of love that they think they can work it up. A man who's filled with is full of the Holy Spirit will not only love God, but he will also love Jesus, and he'll profess Jesus is the Son of God to be the Lord of all. Why? Because the same Holy Spirit that gives man love for God will also give a man love for Jesus. what I was just trying to say. You will reflect it, but it won't be yours. It'll be what God is doing through you, through the power of His Spirit. We've talked about, and if you're here on Sunday nights, we talk about having the mind of Christ. If I've already got some of these things locked in and I'm supposed to be, I'll begin to react upon those things. Those are of the Spirit. Those are the mind of Christ. Those are the things that I need to project unto a lost and dying world. Those are the things I need to be living day by day. So love's possession. John's simply saying here, this is in verse 16. John is simply saying here, where you live depends on how you love. If God's love is in you, then you possess God and God possesses you. The scriptures we read this morning, if God is in you and you are in God, if God is in you and you are in God, then He possesses you. And if He possesses you, you'll want to make Him what my brother just proclaimed to be. He wants Jesus Christ to be the Lord of his life. Lord of his life. What's the Lord mean?
Boss.
To be the boss of his life. You belong to God, God belongs to you. And it's a relationship, but that's constantly what we're reflecting into the world. Let me go to the next point here and we're going to be finishing up. Love's supernatural effects. We're looking at verses 17 through 21. But whoever has this world's goods and see his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him. Whoops, I'm in the wrong scripture. Hold on a minute. I've got to get the page flipped on me. I want to go back. Verse 17. All unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not leading to death. We want to, that's not where I want to be either. Hold on a minute here. I get it. Now I got it. Verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. When we think about a confidence that I can have with the Almighty God, I guess I can think about my own father, my earthly father. I felt like I had a healthy relationship with him. I had a reverence for him. I had a reverence because he gave me a lot of good instruction. And if I failed to follow his instruction, I could always depend upon him to discipline me and to get me back on the right track. And our God does the same thing. He tells us that in Hebrews chapter 12. He tells us where those that he loves, he will discipline. So if we choose the path of not following God's love, not following what the Holy Spirit injects in us and brings through us, if we're not reflecting and if we start getting into a sin of unrighteousness, we could depend upon God disciplining us. You say, well, how will God discipline me? Is he going to beat me over the head with something? Not necessarily. Will he remove something from me? Will he allow some unrest to come into my life to wake me up? Will he? Would God do that? Is that how he works? Allowing something to come into my life to wake me up? Would he do that? You know, I can look back at my earthly father. He never abused me, but he certainly disciplined me. Our God won't abuse us. He will not abuse us. He loves us, but he certainly might allow things to come into our lives to wake us up, to see him, to see his ways. Sometimes I think he lets things in our lives to make sure we stay on the right path. But he does that in love. You see, we got a Heavenly Father that loves us. A lot of people today, they're thinking about God being a demanding heavenly Father where He's going to drop the hammer on you if you're absolutely out of line. No, I think we have a God that He disciplines and then He gently tries to keep on moving us in that right direction. Conviction through the power of His Spirit comes upon us to move us in the right direction. And if we want to still be bullheaded and not follow that, not hear Him, well, what choice does He have? The same choice that your earthly father has, or the same choice you have as a father or as a grandfather. You have to keep applying discipline until the message is heard. And that's what God has to do with us. How much better would it be for us to keep growing in faith and understanding through this love relationship that we're talking about this morning, of His love keep coming to us? I want to ask a few questions this morning. You know, sooner or later, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, that every one of us Christians will sometime have to go before the judge, Jesus Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ. And there we will judge for those things we've done, good or bad, in this life, and rewards will either be taken or given. But do you fear that? Do you fear that time whenever you go before the judgment seat of Christ? Do you fear that? Does it make you feel kind of uneasy when I even mention it? How do you feel about the judgment seat of Christ? Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Does it make you kind of squirm? You wonder what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ? If it does, maybe you need to review where you are in your life. I can tell you this. Because God loves you, and because He has saved you, if you have given your life to Him, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, that is going to get you in heaven unless you deny Him. That will get you to heaven, and you're assured of that. But you know what? I would never, ever want to disappoint my Heavenly Father. Because the love that I know He has for me, I remember back in my days when my father was on this earth, and how He would give me chores to do in the morning before He went to work. And I'd want to make sure that I got those done because I never wanted to disappoint Him. I never wanted to see that face of disappointment whenever he arrived home. I never wanted to hear Him ask me, "Did you get that done?" I never really wanted to do that. Why? Why did I do that? Why did I feel that way? Because I had a reverence for Him. Not that I feared that He was going to beat me, but I had a reverence for Him that I wanted to please Him. And that's exactly the way it ought to be with us and our God. Because He loved us so much and He provided for us, living in unrighteousness, living in sin, does not fit where God wants us to be. He loves us, but if we want to continually be wallowing around in sin, then He has no choice but to discipline us. We're talking about this morning also that we are a genuine child of God and we are saved by His love. So don't go out of here saying, "Well, I can lose my salvation." I'm not saying that. I'm saying that God wants to work through you and you ought not want to disappoint Him. I kind of like the way the Living Bible translates verse 18. It says we need to have no fear of someone who loves us perfectly. The Living Bible said it that way, and I like the way it said that, because we don't have to have a fear at the judgment seat of Christ, but we ought to want to prepare for that now and not disappoint our God. And living in unrighteousness, continuing to sin, is not pleasing Him, my friends. It's not pleasing Him. If we're afraid, if there's a fear in our hearts this morning, and you haven't been fully convinced that God loves us unconditionally, that's His grace, then maybe you need to refresh where you are. Because if you are a true prince, as you should be, the king will always do righteous things for you and love you. But you also will have to be corrected. One more point. the compassion that God has for us. Compassion. And he comes right out and corrects us in his word. He says, listen to this. He says in chapter 1 of 1 John, in verse 6, that if a man lives in darkness, in other words, if he's living in sin, my friends, but claims to have fellowship with God, he is a liar. You and I, if we're living this love relationship we're talking about, if we are truly allowing the Holy Spirit to direct our paths and move in our lives, then we're not going to be living in continuous unrighteousness, something called sin, or something that might be called darkness in the Scripture. I want to give you another one. In chapter 2 of 1 John, verse 4, if a man lives in disobedience to claim he knows God, if he lives in disobedience, in other words, we choose not to be obedient to God, if we choose, absolutely we choose that we're going to be disobedient to God, and we claim that we have fellowship with God, he says again that we are a liar. And the one that we said this morning, or we already read, that if a man lives in disfellowship, you're not fellowshipping with God, we're not praying, we're not reading His Scripture, we're not talking to God, we're not allowing Him to communicate to us. And communication, my friends, is two-way. I talk to Him, and He talks to me through this. Or He talks to me through the Holy Spirit. But we've got to have the discernment of what comes into our minds as well. The argument's simple. I think that we've tried to make here this morning is it's humanly impossible to love God. You have not seen if you can't love the brother that you look into the eyes of. I said love. How can you love the brother that you see or not love the brother that you see, be in disarray with the brother that you work with, and say you love God? That becomes the question. You see, God fixed that. God fixed that whenever you accepted Him as Lord and Savior and His love started flowing through you. The power of His Spirit started to work in your mind and started to work through you. And He brings conviction whenever we're into unrighteous things called sin or wanting to live in darkness. He convicts, He corrects. But where are we? You see, God fixed us, but we got to allow that fix to work. If I can make it that clear. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. The Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred. I can hope for tomorrow, but if I haven't done something about it, like letting the love of God shine through me, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through me, and I do the things that God wants me to do, where are we at? Do you stir the hearts of your brothers and sisters through your love? Do you encourage them? Are you edifying? Are you lifting up? Are you doing that through love? Or are we judgmental and say, why in the world did you do that? That hurt my... No, that hurt... No. Come alongside. I'd like to help you. If I can help you. You know, I've got some suggestions here that might help aid you or help you. But first of all, it's saturated with prayer, and I allow God through His Spirit to move me in a love relationship. I think the greatest sermon that was ever preached, and I finished with this. I think the greatest sermon that was ever preached when Jesus said, by this all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And that becomes the question. How much love do you have for one another? If you have the kind of love that we've talked about this morning, then this church will go on and go on well and be moved and be moving in the world. But if we choose to continue or to be in sin by not loving one another, not encouraging one another, not lifting up one another, not complimenting one another, as the Spirit of God moves in each one of our lives, we should be like two gears meshing together, forming and doing what the Word of God really is. And that can happen if we'll receive and know the love that God put into us. We will work together. We'll be complimenting. We'll encourage you. We'll be uplifting one another. And we'll certainly be reclaiming. And we'll show forth that sacrificial love we've talked about this morning. And the selfless love that we've talked about this morning that Jesus wants us to have. And certainly we'll be sharing that love with one another. That supernatural love that we're talking about. Your nature. Your nature, if I can share this specifically, your nature should not be the worldly nature. It should not be the human nature that you were born with. The nature that you and I have today should be a spiritual nature that comes from God. The spiritual nature that comes from God. If you don't have that, maybe you need to review your life. Let us stand and pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for what you've shared with us. And I pray that our love will continually be molded and made into what you want us to be. So God, move in our hearts. If there be one here this morning that has not yet received Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, and they don't even understand this love yet, Lord, I pray that you'll move us. You'll move them to come to the altar here this morning and receive you as Lord and Savior. And the Christians that are playing with God and not following through with all of that love nature that you've given them, I pray that they'll renew that this morning. And we ask this, these precious things in the precious, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whatever happens, if God's leading you, I encourage you to come.